name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to bless your name real good. And Father God, help us to allow that to be the passion of our lives, to worship and praise you real good, Father. And not only be hearers only, but be doers of your word, that you may be glorified in all that we say and or do. Help us, Father God, to live a life to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, now it's preaching time. Lord, if you don't speak to us, nothing will be said. For we need a word from you. And help us, Father God, to live out what you would have us to do based on the proclamation of your word. We'll give you honor, praise, and glory. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, Love Fellowship. So if you would, please stand and make your way to Matthew chapter 6. And I just want to lift up one verse in your hearing this morning. And it's Matthew 6, verse 33. Pretty familiar verse. Looking around, make sure everybody's there before we read it. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let's read it together. Let's read. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if you would, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you seeking? And look at your other neighbor and say, who are you seeking? And then ask yourself this question as well. What or who am I seeking? And the question this morning, are you seeking God? Amen. You may be seated. So we're always seeking something or someone. Matter of fact, God made us to seek him. However, if we don't seek him, we're seeking something. And a lot of times we're not seeking him because of the something we're seeking. If you're single, are you seeking a mate instead of seeking God? Adam was single and he was working in the garden, but he did not only understand what he needed until God allowed him to realize that there was something missing. And God brought the very thing that he was missing, Eve. Adam and Eve were satisfied in the Lord for a long time. The Bible doesn't say how long, but all of a sudden, Eve standing at the tree and the serpent slithered right on alongside her and started having her to question the very God that brought her into existence. And then once the question, the doubt formed, she violated the principle of God. So if you're not careful, you will find what you seek. Only to realize that it does not satisfy, but for a short time. And we always want what we don't have. And usually we don't want what we have. Closets are filled with clothes that we thought we wanted until we got it. And then we just keep packing it in and packing it and packing it in. And how many of you ladies specifically have clothing in your closet with tags still on it? And I'm sure men do the same thing, but just been my experience, not as often. Get a car because we think that car is going to give us something that we're missing. But to find out, it's just a car. Think back way back in the day. I think back in 1996, the Maximum first came out. Man, that Maximum looked good. But if you see a 1986 Maximum today, I mean, it's hard to realize that you like that at that particular point in time. It looks so bad. But we're seekers, and God created us to seek. God has placed in each one of us a God-sized hole, and it's a vacuum. And we know a vacuum has to be filled. It cannot exist empty. Therefore, we're seeking to fill the very thing God made for himself. And we seek to fulfill it with something outside of God. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's two parts. We play the first part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God say, I will add all these things to you. But we have to do our part, because we have to seek, and we have to seek God first. So let's go ahead and set this up. Of course, this is the beginning of the Beatitudes, starts in Matthew chapter 5. And Christ, of course, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So that which was lost was set aside for the wrath of God. It was lost. We were lost. We were lost in Adam. All died in Adam. We were lost, but Jesus Christ left heaven. The Bible says he came down through 40 and two generations to seek and to save that which was lost. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, and that whosoever believeth in him did not come to belief on his or her own, but they had to be made alive, quickened by the Holy Spirit. Then and only then we turn around and exercise faith in God, justified, sanctified, and ultimately will be glorified. But because of what Christ has done, there was nothing in us, not by our own righteousness, because we have none. Our righteousness but a filthy rag, something that if you saw, you would detest it. You would throw it away because it's a filthy rag. And that's what we was bringing to God. Yet and still, God loved us so much in spite of us. He loved us. And he gave Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ willingly came down, knowing what his creation would do to him, willingly came down. And he would have come if it was just for one. Because that's the only way anybody's going to get into heaven, is that we be found in Jesus Christ. So he came down. And then Matthew 5:1 talks about, he calls his disciples to himself. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So Jesus starts in verse 1 of chapter 5 and goes all the way through chapter 7. First verse is talking about the Beatitudes, Jesus teaching. And you have to understand that the people that was hearing Jesus teaching this way, their mouth would have dropped open. So there is no way we could do these things, Lord. No way. And he's talking to his disciples. And of course, his inner circle, they traveled with him for 3.5 years. And they saw many, many things Jesus had done. Many things. But he started telling them, if you want to be righteous in the heavenly places. Verse 3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So that's what we've been called to do. To be. Not to just do. Because you usually do what you believe. So first of all, you need to know what you believe. What do you believe? Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe it? And if you believe it, how does it impact your behavior? Because we need to be taught the right way. Jesus sat down and he taught. Preaching is necessary. The proclamation of the word of God is necessary. But you need teaching. Amen. You need to come and sit up under a biblical teacher. And you have to be aware of what you're being taught. You can't just continue to have junk food in your body function the way God has called it to function. You have to get soul food. And I'm not talking about pig feet and all that food. I'm talking about food for the soul. Chitlins. Ooh. Well, we're talking about food for the soul. So you must be fed, and it must be daily. Now, you wouldn't physically go without food for 2-3 days. But, so how in the world can you function the way God has called you to function and not spend time in the Word of God? not to be taught, properly taught. And you have to be careful to which, to whom you listen. Unless you mature enough to listen, to know what error is and what true doctrine is. You have to know. And I listen to some junk and I know it's junk going in. But sometimes even the preachers that preach junk say something every now and then. But you have to be able to discern what is truly from the word of God. And then you toss out everything else. I know Reagan always come through the living room. She said, "Dad, is this junk?" I said, "Yeah." And she keep going. Said, keep going. Don't stay. But the good thing is she and I can sit down and we can talk about it. You know, we can ask, she can ask questions. What about this? What about that? What do you think? Because I want her to know and all of you to know. If you were put in a situation where you did not have access to the Bible, do you have enough Bible in you to survive until you get your next word of God? Or do you only come in Sunday morning and just hear the preacher preach, go through Sunday school, if you attend Sunday blast, and then wait till next Sunday? What if you only ate physically on Sunday? How strong would you be next Sunday when the enemy comes today, tomorrow? You have to stay in the word of God. Sit under good teaching. So you are ready when the enemy comes. Because he is coming. Matter of fact, he's already here. Paul said, "When I would do good, evil is always present with me." You have the enemy with you. Your flesh. Everywhere you go, your enemy is right there. Right there, there's nowhere you can go to get away from you. And you're right there with you. And it's pulling and tugging and trying to get you to quiet those voices. One more time. That's all I want you to do. One more time. And that's his cry. Just one more time. All you have to do is just one more time. Just one more time. And that's what it constantly say. One more time. And you give in. And it satisfies for a moment. And you quiet those voices down for a moment. But then they come again. And they come again. And they come again. I was watching, and it's been a long time, for these little shows used to come on, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And it was this lady, and she was raped. And the husband, you know, took her to the hospital, and they were coming back. And she said, "There he is." And he said, "What, the man that raped you?" She said, "Yes." And he stops the car, chases him down, kills him. Get back in the car and go. And she said, "There he is." And every man she saw after that, "There he is. There he is." And that's the way the flesh is always trying to get us to do. One more time. Just one more time. And then you're satisfied. One more time. One more time. One more time. But when is enough enough? And once you start to compromise, once you get on that slippery slope, you're going to keep sliding down, down, down. But Jesus wants us to know that we have to have good teaching. And he is the best teacher. When he went back, he sent the Holy Spirit that will teach us. He will lead and guide us into all truth. But we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not pretend. You have to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Because sooner or later, your clock is going to hit zero and it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. It's just like at a basketball game. And team is leading by 20 points and they get the all-star and he just hit threes and hitting threes and hitting threes and he can't miss. But all of a sudden the clock's at zero. And he said, "Come on, give me the ball. Give me the ball. It's too late." And that's the way life is. Life is coming to an end, whether we realize it or not. And I know sometimes they say experience is the best teacher, but you've never experienced death. So you can't learn from it experientially. But you can look around and see people that are younger than you and their time ran out. But we have to take advantage of the time that we have. So Jesus teaches them the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. And then he talks about we are salt and light. So we are salt and light in a dying, decaying, dark world. But we have to live as salt and let our light so shine. Then Christ talks about he fulfills the law. There are promises, precious promises in the word of God. And God has to bring them to fruition. Jesus say, the earth and heaven and earth will pass away before the word of God. He did not come to cancel the law, but to fulfill the law. So he's right here and he's given us what we need. But we have to live out what he's placed in us. God has worked both the will and to do. But we have a part. We have to work it out. We have to work it out. And we work it out by seeking him. And then on down through there, he talks about adultery. It's in the heart. Talked about marriage is undefiled. The only reason we should get a divorce, if biblical reasons. But now in the church, the last statistics I saw said 50% of people in the church, their marriage ends in divorce. 50%. And how are we going to go to the world telling them about this Jesus Christ that cannot keep people married? We denying the very power we proclaiming. But brothers and sisters, we have a huge responsibility, but it's a privileged responsibility. God has given us everything that we need to live out what he has called us to live out. But we have to rest in him. Amen. We have to rest in him. How many of you are resting in Jesus Christ? Or are you worried? Or do you lose sleep about what might happen? Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. The Bible said there's enough trouble for today instead of thinking about tomorrow. But when we think about tomorrow, what comes to mind? Do you trust God for your tomorrows? Did you trust him for your yesterdays? Are you trusting him for your right now? If he took care of your yesterdays and he's taking care of you right now, would it not be logical to conclude tomorrow? He's already there and he's waiting for you. Pastor alluded to it. His mercies are renewed when? Every day. Grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in the meantime, I have to trust him. Because he brought us through. So Jesus is teaching to his disciples. So first we must understand, if he's teaching his disciples and his disciples understood, you have to be a disciple to understand, right? So you have to make sure you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? Is there any doubt in your heart and mind? If you died right now, where would you go? And don't answer me, but you want to be sure. You want to be absolutely sure. You don't want to close your eyes in death and wake up without Jesus Christ. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. Am I truly saved? Coming to church won't save you. Being baptized will not save you. Being a member of a church will not save you. Your parents are Christians will not save you. My grandparents were Christians will not save you. But you have to be saved personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an individual thing. Are you saved? Are you really genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ? So I want to talk with you personally this morning. As an individual, not as a group, but as an individual. Jesus said, individually, seek. And that seeking is a longing, passionate looking for something. Just like the lady that lost the coin, she had 10 coins and she lost one. The Bible says she swept her house and carefully looked at every inch of the house until she found her coin. So that's the seeking, the longing. And it's single-mindedness. James said a double-minded man should not think he should find anything, but he's unstable in all his ways. All his ways. One minute we want to seek the world. The next minute we want to seek God. Well, if we're doing that, we're really just seeking the world all the more. Because God is not a vending machine, a Santa Claus, an Easter bunny. You know, we have those Mother Days, Easter and Christmas saints. Only dot the doors of the church on those days. And the church is not a temple. This is not the only place God resides. A lot of time, instead of sharing the gospel with people, oh, I got to get them to church. No. Why in the world are you going to bring a sinner to church? And let me qualify that statement. But church is for saved people. Because people sitting here, they're not saved. They just hear foolishness. Then why you invite me down there? However, God can save. I'm not saying that. But you need to present the gospel. That's what you've been called to do. Not to invite people to church. But you present the gospel. And when they get saved, they will find their way to church. They'll call you, hey, you going to church today? Because there's a hunger. But we have to disciple them to let them know we need to have the fellowship. Come in fellowship. Lives touching lives. But we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we need to seek to please him. Because that's part of our calling. To tell folk about Jesus Christ. So that is a longing, a seeking, a single-mindedness. And seek God first. And that first above any and everything else. Everything else is a distant second. It's not even in the same ballpark. That's when we're supposed to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like when Jesus told his disciples, if you don't hate your mother, your brother, your sister, your child, even your own life. And that hate was really not hate. But compared to the love we have for him, it was just like hate. And that's just the way the first compared to the second. There's a huge distance. But we have to seek God. Seek God more than any and everything else. Seek God. And how often do you get up in the morning seeking God with that much passion? To love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To spend time with him, so much time you get caught up, you forget about any and everything else. Like Mary was found at the feet of Jesus, and Martha said, Lord, tell this girl to get up. I'm over here working my fingers to the bone, and she's just sitting there at your feet. Come on. Now it's time for that. But the most important thing is to be found at the feet of Jesus Christ, looking unto him, getting your direction from him. So he'll order your day. But if we don't go to him and order and we order our day and say, Lord, sign this. I want you to go with me here. And it's just like last week. The angel of the Lord showed up and Joshua said, who are you with? So neither one. And that's what we have to go to. Lord, what would you have me to do? And God gave Joshua direction. And as long as we follow the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to make it through whatever it is. Because where he guides, he provides. And he gives us everything we need. So we should never have to worry about anything. But instead of worrying about stuff, we seek God. And then, but seek God first. But seek first. And of course, the first term, but, contrasts everything prior to. If you're really starting Matthew 5 all the way down to Matthew 6:33, there's a constantly contrast. The world does it this way, but I say do it this way. Constantly contrast. Achan saw the accursed thing. God told him not to touch it, but nevertheless, Achan saw it. It looked good and he got it and hid it in his tent. And he slept well that night. But little did Achan know that God saw everything he had done, everything. And then, of course, the children of Israel went into Ai, small little town, and they kicked their behind. And Joshua just went panic. Oh, Lord, we should have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Why did you bring us over here? Your name going to be shame. And it's like God said, get up, Joshua. What's wrong with you? Here's what happened there. Sin in the camp. And, of course, brought all the tribes. Came down to Achan. Achan had to admit it. And what happened to Achan? He got stoned and they burned them, his entire family. So our sin does not just impact us as an individual. It impacts your family, and it can impact the church. It could impact everywhere you're part of. And contrast him to Solomon. Solomon was made king. And he realized the huge responsibility that he had. And he went to God and asked him for wisdom. And God said, not only am I going to give you wisdom and knowledge, but because you didn't ask for anything else, I'm going to add all these things to you. So that's what God is trying to get us to do. Don't be like the world. Don't seek the things of the world. Now, granted, we need these things, right? We need to have clothes. We need to have food. We need to have a house. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So we work. But that should not be the priority of our lives. But seek first, among everything else, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God speaks to a king. And we are citizens of the kingdom. Amen. If you're born again, you're a citizen of the kingdom. Therefore, you must live like you're a citizen of the king. People should see your lifestyle and know that it's otherworldly. They might not necessarily be able to explain it, but they know it's something different about you. And you can tell them, I'm a king's kid. And let me tell you about the king that I serve. And then seek his righteousness. We don't have any righteousness of our own. And that means right living, right attitude, that we can put on display. We should let our lives so shine that people may see your good works. So your good works says a lot about you. But the question this morning is, what does your work say about you? Does your work say that you are a king, a kid of the king? Or does your work say you are just as worldly as anybody else? What do you seek? What is the passion of your heart most of the time? And of course, we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about direction. Which way are you traveling? Are you traveling towards God's righteousness? Or are you going away? Think about every time I go out to the river park and they open up the dam and that water just flows down. Tremendous push. That's the world just pushing you. Are you just being pushed along? Or are you swimming against the current? And it is a choice. And it is a constant seeking. Constant. And it is an imperative. It is a command of God. It's not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. But God says, seek. And what are you doing? Who are you seeking? What are you seeking? Or do you continue to allow life to push God down? Farther and farther and farther down. It just breaks my heart when a Christian in the public and they just do or say something and you just cringe. And then people look as if that's the standard. They say they're a Christian. And I know we're probably going to beat Steve Harvey to death. But I just listen to some of his stuff. That's what it is, stuff. It's like, man, because if there's no standard by which you're living, you create your own. And look at the world. We have the word of God. That's the standard by which we have to live. No, I can't go in any of your employers and just act the way I want to act. Usually they have an orientation, right? And they give you an employee handbook. So this governs what you do as long as you're part of this organization. And if you're salaried, you're on the clock 24/7. Even your Facebook posts, you represent the organization. I know when I was at Volkswagen, they said, if you're going to get arrested, please take your teamwear off. Because we don't want to see you in the busted paper wearing Volkswagen, smiling. You will be terminated. Now, when I was at Shaw, of course, I worked in the transportation department in Shaw. And there are certain rules and regulations govern commercial drivers. Of course, you cannot drink within 8 hours of your shift. But they say, if you're going to drink, make sure you take your team wear off. If you're going into a bar, take it off. Now, if that's the world standard, how much more should a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ live up your standard? Up to your standard. And you can't take your team wear off, right? But we cover it up. We cover it up with drinking. We cover it up with lying. We cover it up with shacking up. And we think that's okay. Why is that? We look into the word for our standards, and the word of God truly, clearly defines what you must do. There are commandments in the word of God. And this is a commandment. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the part we play. If you look in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 through 11 talked about the doctrine, what you have to believe. Paul builds on it. Who you are. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Talks about Romans 5. God sent his only begotten son while we were yet sinners. Romans 8. For there is now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. And it just keep walking all the way through. And Romans 12 verses 1. Say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that practically speaking, that's what seeking God first means. Every morning we should get up and say, Lord, I offer my body as a living sacrifice, unto you, holy and acceptable to God. And what would you have me to do today? Hebrews 12, chapter verse 2. So look it unto him who is the author and the finish of our faith. That's what seeking God looks like. We have to look to Jesus Christ, not going to the right nor to the left, but stay on a straight and narrow path, seeking to please him in all that we do, seeking him first. That's our part. All we have to do is work it out. God has done his part. And also God said, I will bring it to fruition. For him that began a good work in you shall bring it to pass in Jesus Christ. So that's, God has done his part, but we have to do our part. Granted, we need these things. We need all these things that will be added unto us, but we have to continue to seek God. And as we seek God, he will add all these things unto us. Let's talk about Peter. Peter, you know, Peter put foot in mouth, just got it wrong so many times. But I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. Verse 28 through 30. Mark 10, 28 through 30. And as you get in there, I'm going to go ahead and start to read. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Peter talking about Christ. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. So God is asking us to give up everything to pursue him. However, everything that is needed, God is going to add to it. Everything. How often have you got a job? And you looked at the job, it's a pretty good job. And then as long as you do what you're supposed to do, the company's going to add all these benefits, right? How much more are the benefits when we seek God? He'll give us everything we need right at the needed time. But I think a lot of times we don't want to give up things for God because God may not give us what we want. Lord, I want transportation, but I want this transportation. Lord, I need to eat, but I don't want what you might give me. I want what I want. But you get hungry enough. You know, doing Moody this week, I think they talk about, you know, feeding the hungry, and they have these testimonies and guys talking about they had spoonfuls of cake mix. So they looked in the garbage and looked, found a piece of lettuce, and they were just so happy. Guy was talking about he had a pack of ketchup, and he was just so happy. We want what we want, but when we need something, that want could go out the door. When you get to the point where I'm just hungry, but usually we're hungry for specifics, right? And the commercial will make you want something that you didn't necessarily want before you saw the commercial, right? But we have to seek him and be willing to accept whatever he put in our hand. Are you willing to accept what he puts in your hand? Because he gives us everything we need. Everything we need. And then we have his precious promises. He promised if we seek him first, that all these things will be added unto us. He promised. And we can hold him to his promise. And the same Peter wrote 2 Peter 1:3. The same Peter. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He has given us everything according to God, our godliness and life. That life is eternal life. And if he's going to give us eternal life, he's going to give us his son. He loves us so very much. What things that he would not give us if we need them? What will he withhold from you that he knows you need before you ask? It's just like my girls. I'm not going to have something that they need and withhold it from them. I'm not going to allow them to just run around hungry all the time. All they have to do is say, Daddy, I'm hungry. Usually, what do you want? So if an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more good gifts of the good God will give us? So what's holding you back? What's holding you back from seeking God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And you have to answer that. Because it's so easy to sit in here and say, oh, nothing, I'm good. No, you're not. There is something holding you back. You have as much of God as you want. And he's waiting to give you so much more. So much more. You are as holy as you want to be. God is just want to open up the windows of heaven. Just pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. And we're not talking about material things. Although he could give you material things because he's able. But just think about having more of his presence, having more of his peace, having more of his joy, patience. Patient, you're waiting on the burden, you're waiting, and God has not told you how long you have to wait. Now, I've been talking with Pastor probably the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, I'm in a place I've never been before, and it's hard because I'm waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please, please. Give me direction, please. And tell my wife first, this last, I'm going to use this illustration. I applied for a position over at the House of Refuge. And I had the position. He said, it's pretty much yours. But as I sit there and talk with the guy here and I had lunch together, and I just came uneasy. So he and I talking, and he brings up one of my ex-girlfriend's name. It's like, and right then it confirmed that I should walk away from this position. A few weeks before that, I had a dream about her. I was going across the street. I saw her. She said, Rick, I really didn't know. She said, hey, you're not going to give me a hug? So I give her a hug. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I mean, I mistreated her. Of course, I was unsaved in the world, worldly thing. And I said, you know, I started to try to apologize. And she said, don't worry about it. God forgives sin. So I'm sitting there and he brings her name up and like, cause I before now, like, why in the world am I dreaming about her? Why am I dreaming about her? Cause I told my wife I had a dream about it and like, okay, not a big deal. At least that's what she said externally. Hopefully it was all well internally. Nevertheless, but I was like, but he confirmed it. He confirmed it. It's like, that's why. So now then, I'm just, Lord, give me a sign. Give me something. I'm like Gideon. Please, Lord, give me something. And then I've been ministering to this young man, ministering. And he said, Lord, just show me something. I need a job. I just need it. And I don't have transportation. I don't have that. And he called me Friday and he just started sharing with me. I didn't know which way he was going, but he said, man, the job is right down the street. I can walk to the job. Like, look at God. So God has always given us hope, always showing us, usually because what we go through is usually for somebody else. But I'm just really seeking Lord because I'm thinking about even maybe moving out of town. I'm just, Lord, what do you want me to do at this particular point in my life? Because whereas before I just been doing, I don't know if I necessarily was seeking God first, but just do. But now I'm really trying to seek God and trying to really, Lord, give me some direction, give me some direction. And I know he will. I know he promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. But when you're going through it, it's hard. I mean, it is absolutely hard. But I have to pray for patience. Pray for patience. And the Lord will put more on you than you can bear, but he'll get up under you and hold you up. And you can just lean and depend on him because he's able. Because sometimes you feel like you're going to break, but God say, I got you. I got you. You might not necessarily be where you want to be at this particular point in time, but I'm right here with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Peter talks about the precious promises that we receive from Jesus Christ. So what has God promised you that he has not delivered? Has he ever left you? And he cannot abandon himself because we're in him. So this morning you're standing. You're standing in the middle. You have some decisions you have to make. Are you going to be like Achan, knowing what God has called you to do? And you say, forget about God. This is too big for God. I know better than God. I listen to my counselors and they tell me that this is the best thing to do. Are you going to be like Solomon? Realize that this thing is too big for you. Lord, I need your wisdom and your knowledge because you know what I'm up against. You know my heart desires to please you, but the world is pulling me one way and you're pulling me another way. So help me. Because you're always standing right there in the middle of a choice. You always have to make the choice. God is not going to force you one way or another. But there are consequences. There are positive consequences and there are negative consequences. God told Jonah clearly to go to Nineveh. But Jonah made up in his mind that he was not going to Nineveh. He went down. Paid the fare thereof. Went in the boat. Went down and went to sleep. And a storm rose. God will not force us, but he will create an environment in which you want to go. Lord, please, please stop this storm. And that's understandable when we're in a storm based on our own doing. But what about that storm when you know you're doing the will of God? God told the disciples, get in the boat and we're going to the other side. And they were doing the will of God. And nevertheless, when it got out in the middle, a storm arose. Doing the will of God, and you can be caught in a storm. But what did you do? John the Baptist was proclaiming the word of God and ended up in jail, and doubt creeped in. Are you the one, or should we look for another? All the evidence he had, but doubt will make you forget about the evidence. Disciples on the boat going to the other side. Jesus told them to go, but they started to doubt because they thought, Lord, do you not care that we perish? Doubt creeps in and just creeps out of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So what do you know about God to be true? And that's what you have to stand on. Although I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, Christ is right there with us. Right there. He's led me here and he led me there. And why in the world will you lead me down the valley? But an untested faith is not a faith at all. Oh, Lord, I know what you say, but get the but out of the way and trust God. But it's not easy. And don't let anybody tell you that it's easy. Some days the river is going to be smooth, smooth sailing. But all of a sudden you're going to come up against a Euroclodon, ship tossed to and fro. Spiritually speaking, but you must continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trust that he'll add all these things because he cannot lie. Think about it. He loved you so very much that he died for you. So why would he deny anything that you need? But there are going to be rough spots. There are going to be people telling you don't trust God. And the sad thing about it, brothers and sisters, there are going to be people in the church that's going to tell you, don't trust God. There is a better way. Just compromise. But God said, you must stand firm. Put on the whole armor of God. And why do you need the armor of God on? Because there's a fight. There is a fight. And you must be equipped for the battle. Because you're always in the battle. I referenced earlier, Romans chapter 7 said evil is always with you. Always. And then people in the church, a lot of people in the church don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you saved? And that's the only way you can seek God first. That's the only way you have all these things added unto you. And don't get so caught up, brothers and sisters, if you see people prospering and you know they're not saved. But just think, that's as good as it's going to get for them. Because when their clock winds down, all this is going to pass away. But you, it's going to get better for you. And we're going to go to the true heaven. But we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And we're going to be just like him. Just like him. So what choice do you make today? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things added unto you? Or do you seek the world things? Do you rather have a good job than a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Single. You rather have a man than the man Jesus Christ. Kids, you rather honor other people than honor God by honoring your parents, obeying your parents. Because everything that we need is in the word of God. Husband, when you seek God first, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, when you seek God first, you submit to your husband. Children, when you seek God first, you honor your parents, you obey your parents. Employees, when you seek God first, you do all things as unto the Lord. And if you are an employer, because you have an employer as well, you're a steward, do you treat your employees the way you would have glorify God? Every aspect of life is governed by the word of God. Everything. Everything. Down to the point the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink. So when you're eating and drinking, you need to do it to the glory of God. Not just pray. Just quick prayer, not really think about what you're saying. But you really want to think when you talk to the Lord. Not just say something ritualistic or repetitive, as if through your vain words God's going to hear you. But you want to take time and talk to the Lord. Mother Moore was praying this morning. She said, thank you. Just think about how often do you just pray to God and just say thank you, not asking for anything. Just thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Because God knows what we need before we ask. But my charge to you this morning, as an individual believer, follower of Jesus Christ, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you please, please help us